Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway, 13.1 edition.
And that's 6 miles. Let me shut this gym boss off because I'm finished with the gym boss for the day. So hello and welcome to episode 3.6 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. How is everybody? Like I said, I just finished a 6 miler. Nice little pleasant, cool, not a cloud in the sky. Rather breezy day today here in Cincinnati. So, I think because of the breeze, I'll walk a little bit on a cool down, and then you and I will reconvene on my front porch, okay? Let me grab a rocker and I'll reserve one for you, okay? Be right back. There you go, that's better, isn't it? It's probably easier to hear me today on the front porch anyway. It's rather windy here in Cincinnati. Anyway, how in the heck are you? My training's been moving along rather well with my Galloway training program deal with Mr. Twiggs. I've been using all of the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run elements during this training cycle, and I have to admit I have not used all of them in the past. Let's see, I've done the acceleration gliders, the cadence drills, of course, the magic mile, and the long run. This time I added some track workout that Chris put into my training program, and I've not done that in the past, and I kind of like it. They're difficult, and you have that feeling at the end of a workout that you've really done something, you know? Don't want to do them every day, but it's kind of nice to throw some quality stuff in there at the end of a workout. Like I said, the long run has been going pretty well. I believe my last one was 11 miles, and I'm about 8 weeks out from my half marathon. And I had to keep reminding myself of what Jeff tells me, that you cannot run the long ones too slow. I will admit that I wish that I were doing my long runs faster. My last one was about 11 and a half miles at about a 13 and a half minute pace. And I would say my exertion level is probably a 5 or 6. Yeah, I'd say 6, let's say, on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, my point is, I don't want to put more exertion into it. In fact, I went out specifically trying to hold back because I certainly didn't want to bonk, and I like I said, you can't run these things too slow. But I wish that I were running an exertion level of a 6 and still doing, you know, 12 minute. But c'est la vie, right? That's the way it is. You can't run them too slow. I have done a couple, maybe 3 magic miles, and sent those results to Coach Twiggs, and he's made all the necessary adjustments to my program. So I'm advancing and I'm improving. So we'll see. And hopefully you're somewhere in the same place with your training. I know I've obviously picked my race. How about you? So in this episode, once again, we'll catch up with Mr. Galloway, because as cool as it is to have Jeff all to ourselves every episode, there's nothing like spending a little bit of time with Jeff one-on-one, and I want all of you to know where Jeff's going to be in the coming weeks and months so that if he's anywhere close to you, you have that chance. Yeah, trust me, you'll like that one. We're also going to jump into some more run-specific run-walk-run elements. I've had a lot of experience with a lot of other running programs, either reading quite a bit about them or trying a few of them myself. And I'm not sure I've seen any other program that puts so much emphasis on motivation. Jeff has written so much on that topic, and I think the takeaway for today is that motivation should be a pretty darn important tool in your run, walk, run training program. So we'll catch up with Jeff about that topic. And also, obviously, this whole health and staying in shape is very, very important to all of us, but perhaps the only more important thing is keeping our kids healthy, or in some cases, getting our kids healthy and in shape for their own obvious health reasons, right? So we're going to get Jeff's take on how important is it that that our kids are in shape, and maybe a few tips from Jeff on how to do that as well. And lastly, when last we left off, our friend Bethany had a marathon just a few short weeks out, and she'd only gotten 1 8-mile long run in, you'll recall. So we called on Coach Twiggs for a little advice for Bethany as well. Well, she has since completed a half marathon and gotten to the starting line of the Twin Cities Marathon. So we're going to check back with Bethany and see how all of that went. Also, a few questions from some extra milers. So lots of good stuff in this episode. Let's get to it, huh? And you all enjoy your extra mile.
Okay, after some technical difficulties and having to use some old-school technology, we finally got our favorite running coach, Mr. Jeff Galloway, on the line this morning. Hi, Jeff. How are things today?
Kevin, it is a beautiful day. I got a retreat down in Florida, so had to get down here to our Panhandle location, and we were very fortunate. The universe is looking out after us, and the weather is absolutely the best. I really have all of the respect for those that had to, you know, get out of their homes on the east coast of Florida, and I wish them very, very well. I hope that there isn't property damage, and I hope that everybody is safe. But it sure is beautiful here in West Florida today.
Yeah, not the least of which is our buddy Chris Twiggs had to get out of Dodge from his home also.
Yes, I was just looking at the Weather Channel, and the storm, Matthew, is headed right into Jacksonville as we speak. And fortunately, Chris and his family got out and got over to safe haven in Tallahassee.
Right, right. So as we start all of our conversations, let's check up on where you've been and maybe more importantly, where you're headed to, so some of our listeners might be able to get over there and meet with you. Last time we spoke, I think we already spoke about the Disneyland half, which you did in in early September. But I wanted to ask you, something while we're on that topic, because I know sometimes when we speak, you're doing the half or you're doing the full. Do you sometimes look forward to the half sometimes when you go to these and thinking to yourself, well, it's, I don't want to say only a half, but with you, I'm sure it probably is. How do you feel with the half versus the full these days?
Well, Barb and I talk about this a lot, especially when we're talking to folks who are moving up to the marathon and they have had some struggles with the half. The bottom line is that, as always, with the right run, walk, run, you can make almost any distance a good experience. And so you have to be ready to adjust your run, walk, run if you need to. But what we tell these folks who have in the past struggled in the half, I usually interview them, and I usually find that for their own ability, their current ability, they're running too far and not walking frequently enough. And once they adjust that, a whole lot of them get back to me and say, I can't believe how good I feel on a half. And the second statement as they go through their marathon training is, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this weekend, I'm only running a half marathon. Your perception your conditioning, both mentally and physically, change, and you're actually changing your brain. So your perception, once you have reached a mileage level of about 15 to 18 miles, your perception is that 13 really is totally doable, and it is.
And that, I'm sure, is the same reason why in your plan you've got, whether it's a half or a full, you've got a long run of at least up to and including that distance or even beyond.
It makes all the difference. I tell folks who sometimes balk at that, who I'm coaching, and I'll say, well, think of it this way. You get to choose where you want to hit the wall. Do you want to hit it before your race distance, at your race distance, or do you want to not even hit the wall when you finish your race? That way, you can enjoy the whole afternoon and not have to have as many of those exhaustion issues.
Sounds like a better plan to me. So let's see. A couple of other items that I noticed on your calendar that you've been, and one of them is a local event, I think. And I don't think we've done this one enough justice, and I think it's probably meant for more people that are close to the Atlanta area. But this Kaiser Permanente corporate run, walk, and fitness program that you're very involved in, what is that all about?
That is our biggest event that we put on every year, 34th year this year. And what it is a company get-in-shape program through team building and fitness. So what we do is we give companies an eight-week get-in-shape or get-in-better-shape program, either walking or running. And this event has grown. We hold it. We have been holding it at Turner Field, where the Atlanta Braves have played traditionally. They're moving their location next year. And so we're going to stay in the Atlanta downtown area simply because it has so many wonderful and endearing things, and it's a corporate center. But we have over 16,000 people that participate in this. About 400 different companies, and we set up this marvelous tent city with pedestrian walkways in between and lots of goodies and things that you can interact with, have a really wonderful band there, Rupert's Orchestra, and people really have fun. I mean, it's I'm told every year by CEOs and top execs that this is the only time in the year when the whole company is really involved in something that's fun. It breaks down some of the political barriers at work and allows people to do something positive for themselves and to bring others into it. But anyway, it's a huge event. It's a wonderful event. It really takes Atlanta by storm. It's a Thursday evening event after work. So we have a lot of logistics to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
It came off beautifully.
Very nice. That sounds really interesting. I'm sorry it's only in the Atlantic area. In Atlanta area, it sounds like there's a lot of growth potential for that kind of thing throughout the country.
There really is, and it's really come of age now the last 10 years since companies are looking for wellness programs, as more and more of the insurance providers are saying, we want you to provide this, and we will give you incentives and premiums if you show that your people are out there doing something. And this is one of the key proofs that companies are using to show that they are doing this eight-week get in shape, and then they track the people afterwards, and a high percentage of them continue.
Oh, good. That sounds great. And before we move on to what's coming up, you mentioned very briefly where you're at right now. You're in beautiful Blue Mountain Beach, Florida.
Yes, we have several beach retreats down here every year. It's beautiful white sand beaches, but the best place to run is actually on trails that are about 2 to 3 minutes away. These trails go through pine straw forest, and it's just so delightful quiet. Sometimes we see some wildlife, but most of the time it's just so tranquil and really gives you that wonderful transcendental running feeling.
Nice. It'd be a good time of year to get out of Dodge and head down there to Florida for one of these retreats. Very nice.
Well, yes, and it's cooling off. The weather this time of year cools off. It's not so oppressively hot,
right.
And the humidity's not as high. And we go over all the aspects of running and nutrition. These retreats down here are designed to not have tons of people so that I can individualize for every single person.
Very good. So next week, in about a week, you head out to Des Moines, Iowa for the IMT Des Moines Marathon. You do that. You've done that for a few years, haven't you?
I have. It's really a wonderful event. It really has a lot of the flavor of the Midwest, which I dearly love. The family values, the community approach, and the fact that so many of the companies and organizations in Des Moines support this event and provide a lot of fun things along the course and so forth. But it's a national event. People come from all the states, and they really love the friendliness and the efficiency. It's a very well-run event.
Very nice. And if anybody's in the area and is interested, then on that Saturday, which I guess is the 15th, Jeff is holding a three-hour running school where he will be focusing on running injury-free until you're 100. I think Jeff always says, past 100, you're on your own, huh?
That's right. I always have to give that caveat. You know, that's the fine print.
Yeah, that's on Saturday the 15th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then that evening, he's the keynote speaker at the pasta dinner. Nice.
Yes. Two different talks. Of course, the running school's 3 hours, and I get into all the various aspects like we do on our retreats. And there's time for individual questions during that. The pasta dinner talk is one in which I will give a few tips, but it's mainly a motivational talk that gets people fired up for the next part of their running life, and particularly the next day.
Right. Very good. And then at the end of the month, I know you're heading to the nation's capital for a marathon that's near and dear to your heart, the People's Marathon, the Marine Corps.
It is. But before I do that, in between, I'll be doing a swing down in Texas, mostly in Houston. I've got several clinics in Houston and a running school. And then I will be going to El Paso, which is a location where we have one of our Galloway training programs. And they do not get a lot of attention down there, so I'm going to go down there, teach a running school, be around to answer any questions about running and so forth. Then the following week, as you mentioned, Marine Corps, which is one of my favorite all-time events just because of the Marines and how much I respect the Marines and what they do, and also the way that this race has been so wonderfully run by Rick Nealis, who has really overcome so many problems. There's no race director that's faced the challenges, including the bombing of the Pentagon in 01, 9/11. Only a few weeks after that, we ran that Marine Corps marathon, and the Pentagon was still smoldering from the crash as we ran by it. I get chill bumps every time I think about it. But it's a great weekend. It's also, if you hadn't run this, it's one of those things that imprints you in terms of Washington, D.C. It's really the best tour of Washington, D.C. You go on foot, and the course just pulls you along from one attraction to the next, around the monuments, around the mall, past the Capitol building and the White House. And it just really gives you a feeling of being an American in Washington, D.C., and you're proud. You can't help but be proud.
Right, especially then. So if you're not already entered in that one, think about next year. It's been closed for quite a while, but think about getting into, trying to get into that one. It's become very, very popular. And if you're in the area, Jeff's going to be at the expo from noon to 1 on the 28th of October, and I'll bet he's going to be around long after 1 o'clock if you get there late.
I will. I have a few media things that I'll have to do, but most of the time I will be at my booth. We have a booth there at the expo, and always fun to see people who I hadn't seen, meet new friends, and answer questions for people that have had challenges in their training. So come on by.
And lastly, early in the next month, November, you're heading down to Orlando for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. I know you do that one every year as well.
That's right. And then the following weekend will be the Avengers Race at Disneyland. With the onset of the fall season, we have so many people that are sort of feeling Disney deprived. The last Disney event was the Dark Side Star Wars way back in April. And so here it is. It's not going to be until November that the next one is. So it's just really a wonderful event with the Food and Wine Festival afterwards. So you finish the event and you can make a tour around Epcot with about 30 different ethnic food booths. They even give you a card that has a cash value on it that you can sample a number of items, and then you can, of course, add more to that with the things you like. But really a festive event.
Nice, nice. So you're going to get a lot of frequent flyer mileage in the next month or so.
Absolutely.
Before we jump into the main topic, the run, walk, run meat of this show, if we could please, I'd like to discuss one topic that's the subject of one of your books by the title of Fit Kids, Smarter Kids, if you don't mind. This intrigues me. And first I'd like to ask you, why did you write this book, this particular book?
Well, I had been asked by a lot of parents, teachers, and youth leaders to write a book of this sort because they were so concerned, having seen this in their families or in their work, the growth in childhood obesity that is very well documented and really scary. So I contacted some friends of mine that work at the CDC in the area of childhood obesity and adolescent problems in that area too. And every one of them suggested that I look at the tie-in between physical activity and academic achievement because that's also a huge issue. And the concept that I developed as I looked at the research, which they were kind enough to give me, the research study showing that, and there are thousands of them. It took forever to go through these. But the trend is just very clear. The kids who regularly exercise not only don't tend to get overweight or obese, but they actually do better in school. And this is now understood very well. The book called Spark explains the brain circuits that are turned on when you run or do any exercise, and running elevates those to the highest level. And so what the book does is it provides some fun activities. It also lays out the research so that you can really see what's going on and how not only do kids do better in school, but they have a better attitude. There are fewer disciplinary problems. They are able to evaluate things better, make better decisions and judgment calls. And, of course, for our kids, that's solid gold.
Yeah, right. What I thought is fascinating about this is that it seems intuitive that fit kids are healthier, obviously, and then they get all the benefits that go along with being healthy children. But you made this jump here and somehow figured out that they're not just healthier and live healthier lives, but they actually do better in school and they're smarter kids. That's kind of a jump there.
It is, and I was very cautious at first, and once I got through the first 36 major studies, I realized, hey, there's something going on here.
Yeah, and
a lot of these studies really were just looking at cause and effect. So you take kids that aren't fit, and you give them a program, and then 3-6 months later, you do the post test. And they do better. They do better in achievement tests and in grades and so forth. And one school district, Naperville, Illinois, is highlighted in the book called Spark. They were ahead of the game in this. And what they found is that if you gave kids an option for a little bit of extra credit by going early to school and doing an hour aerobic physical education workout, that learning was better, grades were better, and that school went from being above average in the state of Illinois to being one of the top 10 to 15 schools in the world in a number of categories. So the only change was this what they call zero-hour physical education, aerobic activity. So there's so many positive things, and they're documented. This is not speculation. The book Spark and my book Mental Training goes into how this happens in the brain hormones, and the circuits that are turned on. One of the most powerful things that is documented is the new growth of brain cells. This is true for adults, too, so it gives adults hope if they happen to have destroyed some earlier in life.
Very good. Very well put. And I'm assuming that any stats that you've got on exactly how unhealthy our kids are probably too conservative at this point anyway. They're fighting an uphill battle. They're swimming against stream with how unhealthy they are these days, are they not?
And that is very disturbing for us that have sort of watched this happen over the last 20 years. But again, the good news is it's not a deal killer. You can turn this around by getting regular in exercise, and that's true, again, for adults as well as children.
So I would recommend the book. It's called Fit Kids, Smarter Kids, and it's available at jeffgalloway.com, and Jeff will send along his autograph when you buy that book there as well. And I will put that link in the show notes. And the thing I like about the book, it doesn't just go into all the stats that we spoke a little bit about now and what the kids are fighting, but it has a lot of takeaway action items that you can try with your own kids, because if you don't make it fun somehow, it's just, you got to make it more fun than an iPod, right? Or an iPad, that's for sure.
Well, you've got some solid competition, and one of the things that's mentioned in there is to give kids an incentive if they go outside and do, some exertive activity, aerobic activity for 30, 60 minutes, then they earn a certain number of minutes on the screen to play with the screens.
Right. Very good. Good. All right. Well, thank you. And like I said, I will put that link in today's show notes. But in case you don't get to that, just head over to jeffgalloway.com and you'll find a spot where you can order all of Jeff's books. And this one is called Fit Kids, Smarter Kids. Thanks for that, Jeff. So if it's all right, let's jump into the meat of this next Run, Walk, Run podcast edition. So let me recap just very briefly. So far, we've hopefully entered and planned for a race for this fall, either half or a full or 5K, 10K, whatever it might be. But hopefully you've already actually entered. And as your fail-safe, you've always got the Jeff Galloway 13.1 virtual, which is a training run anywhere, whether it's a certified race, if you can get into one, or just take your Garmin with you or your GPS watch and do a training run somewhere between now and December 31st. And you get credit for that. So if you don't have one already, I point you to either the real Jeff Galloway 13.1 in Atlanta in December or the virtual. So there's no reason you don't have a race already.
Yeah, a lot of people, Kevin, are using a training run when they don't have a race in December. They want to stay in shape, and then by entering virtual, you win the medal and the T-shirt by doing that run in December.
And remain a streaker if you've already got that going.
That's
so you've got the race. You've laid out your training plan that you can find at jeffgalloway.com or in any of his books. My favorite is the Training Programs book, so you've got the plan. We've already spoken about the magic mile. Hopefully you've done one of those to determine what your pace is, what your ratios should be for your long runs, and as well, and hopefully has completed a long run or two along the way. So, and actually, and maybe even added some acceleration gliders or cadence drills. We've gotten into some details and also some videos available on all of that stuff. So now maybe it's time to see what else Run Walk Run has to offer us to help us along the way. And one item that we've discussed in the past that can be very helpful, but it's, so it's worth another look, is hill training. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the Run Walk Run method of hill training. Why should we be doing it, and why, and how often, that kind of thing.
Well, a lot of people who are not going to be running hills in their race question whether they should have any hill training in their training. The fact is that sooner or later, you're going to be running hills in a race. I mean, or you're visiting somebody in a hilly city. And if you can do some form of hill training, even every 2 to 3 weeks, there's a really good chance that you will stay adapted to hills and be able to feel strong and at least confident whenever you go to a hilly area. For those, first of all, who are challenged with hills, they live in flat areas, overpasses, bridges, parking garages, and then treadmills, a 2 to 7% grade is what you're looking for. I would recommend starting with the 2% grade for those that are running flat lands, and then as you go through several months, you could very gradually increase that amount. Now, the concept on hill training is quite simple. You want to, first of all, develop a good hill running technique. And the best technique I have found for that is to keep your feet low to the ground, have a light touch of the foot, and as you go up the hill, keep shortening your stride. You also are authorized to take walk breaks more frequently on the uphill portions. For example, if you were running 60 seconds, walking 30 on the flat, when you get to a hill, you can go down to 30-30 or 20-20 or 15-15. If you're already doing something like 30-30, then going up a hill, you could drop down to run 15 seconds and walk 30, or even run 10 seconds, walk 30 if it's a really tough hill. And what happens then is that instead of just walking the whole thing, that 10 seconds allows you to keep your running muscles activated so that when you start running downhill, you are ready to go. Now, hill work is usually done in our program on a Thursday, a short run day, a Thursday, but it can be done on any short mileage day. I don't recommend doing it on long run. And you would start with only 2 or 3 hill repeats. You'd run up the hill, you would walk for as much as you need to recover, and then practice downhill form. I've talked about running uphill, but the best downhill form I found is to, again, keep your feet low to the ground, have a very light touch of the foot, and allow gravity to pull you down, avoiding a long stride. Biggest mistake that people make going downhill, too long a stride. That pounds the feet. It causes you to have too long a stride length, and it can overextend the hamstrings and your shins. So keeping that stride nice and short will allow you to get ready to really run hills when you get in a race and to feel competent whenever you hit any type of a hill.
Very good. So run, walk, run offers help with other things besides physical aspects of the running, such as motivation. I know that's a big one. You spend a lot of time looking into that mental aspect of running. Why is that?
Well, we humans have these two brain components. And I discovered this as I researched for my mental training book, which is very recently come out in a new version, and it is a dynamite book. It has the information on the brain circuits, how they're turned on, what you can do to enhance that, and how you gain control over motivation. So in the research for that book, I discovered that we actually have two brain operating systems. One is the ancient monkey brain, which is subconscious, and the other one is the human brain. The human brain, though, is not as powerful. Monkey brain has over a million times the processing capability compared with our poor little human brain. And so the whole concept of staying motivated is activating the human brain, which will override the monkey brain. The challenge with the monkey brain is that under stress, which of course we will generate when we run, when we have exertive stress, we have heat stress, we have goal stress, and as these things add up during a run, the monkey brain, if it's in control, will stimulate negative hormones and anxiety hormones so that we feel less and less motivated. The fix is to start with some mantras, some positive mantras. I'm going to do this. I can do this. I'm going to feel better. I do feel better. And as you say these over and over again, you activate the positive circuits in the brain, but you also, just by activating the human brain, latching on to a concept, will override the monkey brain. So those negative hormones aren't going to be produced as long as you follow a strategy. And the mental training book has several strategies that allow you to prepare and then activate to stay in your human brain.
Very good. So you've got mantras. Let me ask this question. How important, from a perspective of motivation, is adding a date on the calendar? Sounds pretty simple, but how important is that piece of it?
It's very, very important for most runners, because we by having that date on a calendar and interacting with it regularly, we're going to activate the human brain. And this is the way our work behaviors are activated, by using our human brain, staying focused, having a strategy, preparing for that day. And the constant interaction with that will then stay away from the monkey brain, which produces those negative hormones and puts us in control over how we feel.
So I think related to motivation, you speak in a couple of your books about magic words and dirty tricks. What are those guys?
Yes, and you'll see these highlighted and explained, these methods explained in greater detail in the mental training book. But the bottom line, again, is to set up some strategies that can keep you activating the human brain, which then overrides the monkey brain and stops the negative hormones from making you feel less motivated. And so the mental rehearsal is a simple thing that a lot of people do without realizing they're preparing themselves mentally. You have an early morning run, so you lay out all the stuff you need the night before, and you're telling yourself what you're going to do in the morning, so you make sure you get out of bed, and you have a series of steps. Feet on the floor, turn the alarm off, go to the coffee pot, turn it on, sip the coffee, put on your clothes, stick your head out the door, see what's going on outside, put one foot in front of the other. So mental rehearsal is just breaking an workout up into a series of steps that are all doable. And as you rehearse them over and over again, it gets easier and easier to do that when you get into the event itself. The magic words is really a form of brainwashing, but it's quite powerful because what you're doing is you're taking experiences that used to shut you down. They were too overwhelming. And you go back in your memory bank and you will find some runs that you did when you started to go down in those areas, but you got them, you got back together again, usually by mentally focusing and then following a strategy. So again, in the mental training book, it explains how to do that and explains how to tie magic words. And it'll give you the example of my three magic words, which are relax, power, and glide, and how they work and how they tie into those brain circuits to keep you going back into the human brain, away from that darn monkey brain. And then dirty tricks are the final way that you can get yourself back into the human brain when you tend to start to lose it at the end of a hard workout or race. These are quick fixes. They are designed to get you to focus logically and strategically so that you shift gears for a few minutes, sometimes only a few seconds. But that's going to keep you away from those negative hormones. My most popular dirty trick is giant invisible rubber band that I use whenever someone passes me towards the end of a race. I'll take out my giant invisible rubber band and lasso them, waiting for them to pull me along. Well, at a certain point, I've activated the human brain and the left side, which is the logical side of that, after a few moments, will say, this doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't. So I have to laugh at myself when I get zinged back by the left side of the human brain. And but that activates the right side of the human brain, which is the creative and intuitive side. And it starts to work on solving problems that I'm currently having and looking for inner strength that is always needed at the end of a hard workout or race.
Very good. So I'll place a link in the show notes to Jeff's book, Mental Training for Runners, No More Excuses. I love that title. And it's a brand new revised edition, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Very good.
It is. We've really gotten a tremendous amount of positive feedback on how it has allowed people not only to solve running problems, but problems at work, family, whatever.
Very good. So in the last episode, Jeff, you suggested that we begin highlighting a running injury or two on each episode and discussing it. So to begin with, let's talk about what certainly is one of the most common running injuries, I think, anyway, that being plantar fasciitis. Can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, do you agree? It seems to me like it's prevalent in a lot of runners. What is it? What causes it? And how can we treat or maybe even better prevent the darn stuff?
Yeah, I have talked to quite a few podiatrists over the last year, and I tend to ask them, what injury are you seeing most prominently among runners? And the plantar fascia and iliotibial band are the two that are at the top of the list.
Uh-huh.
The bottom line is that there's very little blood flow in those areas. And so the whole concept of being able to allow an injured area to heal is to generate that blood flow. And you really do need to look at a massage tool that we have on our website. It's called the BFF of all things, and it really is it's a vibrating massage. I've had a number of people that have had that injury for a number of months, and in a few cases, a number of years. And by getting out the BFF every night, the vibration has generated more blood flow in the area. And after about 4 to 6 months, even long-term injured people have been able to come around by doing that. The issue with healing is to stay below the threshold of irritation. And if you put more walk breaks into all of your runs, you can usually run while the injury is healing. And then if you'll treat it with the massage, it doesn't hurt to do an ice massage every night, too, for 15 minutes of constant rubbing on the area to keep it in the healing mode.
Very good. So hopefully we've got time here before I let you go, for a question or two from listeners. I got a ton of them, and unfortunately I know we don't have time for those, but if I could ask a couple of them here, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I do want to inject, though, that you'll find a whole lot more on our injuries in the book Running Injuries, Care and Prevention. I wrote that with a stellar podiatrist, Dr. David Hannaford, who is out at our Tahoe retreat every year and has really helped people cure so many injuries that have they've been long-term injuries. He's just great, and his wisdom is in that book, and you can get it at jeffgalloway.com autographed.
Very good. Thank you very much, and I'll add that to the show notes as well. Okay, let's see, a question or two, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
our first one comes from our buddy Chris Darling, who's down in one of the Carolinas. I think he's in South Carolina, but he's inland. I know he's hunkering down for some of this bad weather. He asks, is it possible for Jeff to go into a little bit of detail about the tapering process? Chris Twiggs has helped him figure out some appropriate weekly mileage during the process. But is there a best way to go after all that mileage? You know, for example, he normally runs 5 days a week, and should that number stay the same with just fewer miles, or should the number of runs drop as well during the tapering process?
Well, the bottom line is that what you do during the last 3 weeks, last 2 weeks really, is really not going to help you get in better shape. So you want to just maintain what you've got. And it is a time period when people who are over anxious and decide they're going to go out and push a little bit more to get in better shape find that they get injured instead. So it's best to just run gently every run you take. Now, normally I recommend that the frequency be every other day during that tapering period, because that's the minimum. That's all you need. However, for a lot of people, and I include myself in this, running every other day doesn't activate my brain enough. I'm missing it. And so if you really do run super easy and put a lot of walk breaks in, you can continue to run 5 days a week. Just realize that that's not going to help your time in the race. It won't improve your performance, but it'll give you a better attitude on those days that you run.
Very good. Our buddy Scott wants to know that if you're using the run interval of, say, 30 seconds or less on your on your long runs, do you have any tips on managing pace? It seems like he's constantly having to tell himself to slow down or speed up.
The simple fix there is to adjust your run-walk-run. If you're still running too fast with, say, a 30-30, then drop down to running 15 seconds and walking third. On long runs, again, there is no pace that's too slow. And so the real goal is to keep that pace slow and to also have enough walking. And it, you can't walk too much, so go ahead and add more walking if you need to get that pace slower.
Very good. And lastly, our buddy Chuck says, hey, Kevin, ask Jeff if he has any comments on using run, walk, run for the shorter 5K and 10K distances, especially for someone hoping to hit a sub-30-minute 5K or a sub-60-minute 10K.
Yeah, and there are a lot of individual differences with the shorter race distances, but I've tracked a lot of people, several thousand folks over the years, who used to run pretty much nonstop in 5Ks and 10Ks, and then decided they'd give it a try to use run, walk, run in some fashion. And most of them found that they ran faster when they did some form of run, walk, run, but it's not the same thing that you do in a marathon or even a half. So for a sub 30-minute 5K, what we're talking about is every half mile or mile walking for 15 to 30 seconds. And you just have to try various configurations. Easiest way to test these out is to go to a track and run either a series of half miles or 1 miles. And you would say, let's say you choose a half mile, and you're trying to get that pace that's a little faster than 10 minutes per mile to run under 30 minutes. The 1 mile, you want to try to run 9:45. And if you chose half miles, that's going to be 4:52 or so for each half mile, two laps around the track. And so you run 4 to 6 of those. And on each one, at first, you try a different run, walk, run. At that pace, a lot of people will start out with 90 seconds 30, and some go to 90 seconds 20. Others actually find that 60 seconds 30 or 60 seconds 20 helps to do that. And just try a variety of these various things. But you'd be surprised at how shorter segments can actually help people speed up because they don't slow down on the walk as much.
Very good. Very good. So I think that's all we've got for today, Jeff. I appreciate your time. In the next episode, we've got some really interesting topics teed up, such as nutrition, running nutrition specifically on our long runs. Maybe we'll jump into some running gadgets like GPS watches and maybe some heart rate monitors.
Sure.
And just a general topic of eating for performance, if that's okay with you.
Sounds great. There's a whole world of information on those things, so I'll study up on it. Look forward to talking about it.
Great, Jeff. Safe travels, and you're jaunting across the nation, and enjoy all of your endorphins, as you say. Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I hope you do too.
Thank you very much. We'll chat soon, Jeff. Take care.
Sounds great, Kevin.
Bye-bye. So I think if you recall from our last episode, we met Bethany Chan. Bethany was in the position of having entered a marathon that was just 38 days out and was rather undertrained for it. I think her last long run was an 8-miler. So we brought in Coach Twiggs to see if we could help out a little bit with getting her across the finish line in Twin Cities. So at the end of that episode, as you will recall, Bethany was going to enter or run the Sioux Falls Half Marathon on Coach Twigg's advice to also do a little walking ahead of that. So I've invited both of them back today after that half marathon to see how things went, to dig a little deeper into what her method was and how it went, and then figure out maybe a plan for Twin Cities. So on the phone with me again today is Bethany and Chris. Hello, Bethany. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You are how many days out from this half marathon? Less than a week, right?
What's that?
How many days away are we from that half marathon you completed?
Oh, it was just last weekend. So let's see, this is Thursday. It was on Sunday. So
we're only 4 or 5 days out. How are you feeling?
Good, really good, like surprisingly good.
Perfect. Coach Twiggs, you're here with me too?
I am. I'm here and anxious to hear from Bethany how things went.
Yeah, so let's dig into this a little bit. Let's first recall the advice that you had given Bethany before the Sioux Falls half marathon, which was on September the 11th, by the way. And as I recall, it was to go out and walk. Well, Bethany, you tell us, what were your plans for that day?
Yeah, so yeah, a little bit of walking. It was to do a 10-mile walk and then to do intervals of 30-second run, 30-second walk for the half marathon pretty much immediately following. So that was the plan last time we talked.
So let's just get right to it. I want to dig in a little deeper, but let's just do a spoiler alert here. Tell me how things went. How'd the walk go, and then how'd the half marathon go?
Yeah, so the walk went really well. It was kind of eerie and almost surreal because it was like 3 a.m. in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, just walking around the neighborhood. I did 3 laps of 3.3 around my in-laws and neighborhood, and so. Every time it just got a little bit more weird, but also better because I knew it was closer to being done with that walk. It did take some people on the Facebook page were surprised that Chris had predicted a 2.5 hours for that walk, and that's pretty much exactly what it took me. So that happened. There were more rabbits than there were people out at that time in the morning. And I really enjoyed the Extra Mile podcast. I listened to episode 151, and that really made me feel a lot less lonely out there. So
good.
That was really great. Thank you for that. So that was the walk. And then at that point, going into the half marathon, I pretty much finished, and I went to, I did like a quick clothes change and then got in the car. My husband took me to the half start line pretty much right there, and then I just almost started going right away. So that was the kind of very, very short transition. At the start of, this is kind of weird little story, but my bib number was number 2. That's how fast I registered for this half. And I actually met bib number 1 waiting to start. So that was kind of cool. But we just kind of started right away. My feet were pretty sore at the beginning of the half, really, and all the way through the half just from the walk. That was the one thing. I think just that, you know, tired feet, friction
right.
Feeling. That was my only little complaint, really, not even really injury related, but just kind of little issue. But yeah, then I started the half, and I did exactly what Chris had mentioned, which was to walk first and across the start and then start the intervals. And I think that helped a lot. I did feel kind of sad because I felt like, no, it's going to be great. You have to walk. But it really did help set the tone in a really big way for me. So that was really great advice. And then I followed that interval the whole way, right up until the last 2 or 3 miles. And then I did run continuously to the finish. And I was just really surprised that even that last like quarter of a mile, I was able to push even more and like run, not just like jog, but like really, really go for it. So that was pretty fun at the end to kind of, it made me feel better about the walking at the start to do that. But yeah, that was kind of my very short day synopsis.
Okay, so I'm interested in this walk first. Let's back. Well, first of all, did tell us the time of your half. What was your finish time?
My half of the finish time was about 2 hours, 40 minutes, which was not a PR for me, but it was faster than my first ever half marathon.
How did you give me a sense for how you felt going into the half? I mean, you mentioned that your feet were a little bit sore, but other than that, were your legs heavy at all?
No, not really. Everything else felt fine. It was just the feet was my only issue.
How did you feel mentally? Were you a little scared? How'd you feel?
Honestly, mentally, I was tired. I was like, I've been up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been walking for 10 miles. It was just kind of that like little bit of fatigue. Just that I can't believe I'm about to now go run 13 miles after I just walked all that. But otherwise, no, it was fine. I mean, there's always with any race start, I think there's that boost of excitement. So that was, you know, very easy to get over.
So let me back up. Let's take this one at a time. The walk that morning, you mentioned three loops around the neighborhood. First of all, you're right. Chris was almost exactly on with the pace, but I'm thinking, oh my God, you walked a 15 minute mile for 10 miles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. About.
Did you look like one of those race walkers out there? I mean, seriously, I think that's incredibly fast to walk. And did you purposefully try to walk faster, or do you just walk that way?
I don't know. I mean, I think I was trying to keep moving. I mean, I didn't want to be out there forever, and I also knew that I really wanted to do what Chris recommended, and I didn't want to do any more after the half, so I think that was extra motivation.
Oh, so you wanted to get it all in before.
Faster, right?
Yeah.
No, I was trying to make sure I had enough time.
Yeah.
And as it was, there was only I think I had 15 minutes between to like just change quick and then get back in the car. So
Chris, when you recommend this kind of thing, you know, walking before a race to get your to stay on your feet for that long, do you care? Do you have a recommendation for how fast somebody will do that walk?
No, not really. I mean, the idea of getting the walk in first is to make sure that you're not putting additional impact on your body. Especially for someone like in Bethany's position where she hasn't done as much running up until now. We had to get her extra mileage beyond what she would have been able to do in the course of a regular training regimen. So because we were bumping her up so much, we needed her to do the walking. How fast she walks is irrelevant. She could have walked it very slowly. Walking it fast is fine. The only thing we don't want is for somebody to go into a true race walking mode. And since the Olympics are so recently behind us, if anybody has, you know, took the time to watch those race walking events, you know, those people they're really flying. I mean, they're going so fast. And mm-hmm. and the biomechanics of a race walk are such that the heart rate is elevated, the respiration is fast. The stress that they're experiencing on the body, even though they're not producing impact, the stress on their whole system is equal to what we experience running. So we don't want anybody to do that. So no need to call in the race walking coaches. No need to feel like you're thrusting your hips out to the side and all of that, you know, cool stuff. But as long as you're doing a true walk where your heart rate is able to stay relatively low compared to what it would be when you're running, and as long as you're able to breathe normally, then that's all that we ask.
Bethany, I'm interested. Just take a guesstimate for me. From the time you stopped that walk to the time you began, you know, your husband, you jumped in the car, your husband took you to this, and you began that race, how much time elapsed, do you think?
About 30 minutes, probably.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Half an hour?
Yeah.
That's not bad. Okay, so let's before I move on, I'm just very curious. You mentioned your husband drove you down there. Did he give his opinion on what you were trying to do here? Did he call you nuts or anything?
Oh, yeah, he thinks this whole thing is ridiculous. You're going to do what?
Yeah. Are you okay?
He's
let's
learned to just say okay, so.
Yeah. Well, I assume you've also filled him in on what your next plans are, Twin Cities, right?
Oh yeah, he knows, and he's in full support. He doesn't understand
Good.
It, and he doesn't want to go with me, but he's in support of it.
Good for you. Okay, so let's get into the race now. So you started the race, walking across the starting line, just like Chris said, and you used a 30-30 ratio, right?
Right.
The entire way, 30-30, and that's it. Stuck right to it.
Yep, I might have skipped one or two here or there just because of like water stops and the way things like worked out. But yeah, for the most part, just kind of stuck to it until the last couple miles.
And for those of you who don't remember, this was actually your first dive into run, walk, run, right?
Yes, yeah, my first race trying it at all.
Tell me how you felt. I mean, not physically, but how'd you feel with the beeping going on and the stopping and the starting and run, walk, run?
Yeah, so I had it on just the vibrator. I did use the Gym Boss descent, which is awesome. And it was good. I felt a lot stronger overall. It didn't bother me because I'd been used to it. I did a couple runs with it before, so I was kind of used to it, but I never had it in a race situation. One thing that was kind of a mind game mentally was that all of these other runners were just running continuously. I didn't see many other interval people or, you know, run walkers out there on this particular course, at least in the beginning. And there's this one guy with these like bright red shorts on, and he was going the same pace I was overall, but just steady.
Yeah.
It was really awkward. I think he started to get upset with me by then, because I would go just like cruising on past, and then I'd stop and walk, and then he would run past, and then I was just like the whole way. And it was at least the first probably maybe 6 or 7 miles, and I think that he was getting a little bit disgruntled with me. But it was just. But I did notice that a lot of other runners, though, I was able to kind of pass people this time, which was new to me. This is the first race that I've ever passed more people than passed me. I've never had that before.
Right, so, right. Yeah. I don't know if you saw or not, but you actually, from the 10K mark, right, so from 6.2 to 13.1, you passed 30 runners. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't remember
the number,
but that's great.
Yeah. That's kind of empowering, isn't it? And tell me how you felt during the race. Was there any time that physically now, did you have to slow way down during it? Did you feel great during the whole way, or how'd you feel?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed this race. This is the first race I ever like truly enjoyed the experience of it while I was doing it. Like other races, I usually, like I run as fast as I can, and I'm waiting for the bomb to drop out. I know eventually something's going to happen. I'm going to have to go slower, and I'll deal with that when I get there. And it's kind of, I'm just waiting for that in the back of my mind. But I felt so strong this race, and just like every walk break, just, you're right, like it gave me that much more energy for the next one. It was just like I really, really enjoyed that. I felt like I was in much more control of my race and what I was doing. I don't know if that makes sense, but it didn't feel like I was waiting for that disaster to happen like I kind of usually am. Like I really just, it was just really a great race. The foot issue did kind of bother me the whole way because it did start at the beginning. So towards the end, that's one of the reasons I did just run continuously, because it seemed to be more comfortable towards the end than with the walk breaks and kind of breaking it up. But otherwise, I didn't really have any other issues. It was just that that nagging foot issue from the start.
Yeah. So I'm trying to put myself in your spot, how I would be feeling. And I have this feeling that were it me, as the race went on and I got closer and closer to the end of the run part after I'd already done that walk, I would start feeling, I don't know, either emotional or at least on a high, like, holy crap, I'm going to do this. Did you feel like that way at all? Did you get that way?
Yeah. There is that moment of, wait, this is actually happening. Like, I can do this. And it was, I think about maybe mile 7, I started getting just really, just a little bit fatigued because I'd been up so early and did the walk ahead of time. Like, I wish that I had a shirt on. I told people, look, I would walk 10 miles before this thing, but would have been a little self-serving. But I know it was just a little like just that fatigue, and, you know, I'm just not sure. And then I think somewhere around 9, it was like, this is, you know, 4 to go, this is happening. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, good for you. Chris, comments, thoughts about this whole deal?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say with regard to the shirt, Kevin, I just took a picture of a prototype singlet that arrived at my house today. We'll go into production with it soon. And it's a singlet that I know a lot of your listeners are going to want. On the back, it looks like a regular Galloway shirt, except it's a singlet instead of a shirt. But on the back, it has the words "Run, Walk, Run, Galloway Train." And
I love it.
And so this way, we don't have to answer those questions anymore. We don't have to make any excuses or explanations. People will know when they see us passing them late in the race.
Exactly.
Anthony was passing those 30 people, or even early in the race when we're doing the back and forth like she was doing with that guy. The explanation will be right there, and you won't have to worry about it. Now, there are no plans currently to produce a singlet that has on the back, "Hey, buddy, I walked 10 miles this morning while you were sleeping."
Darn.
We don't have that one. So you're still going to have to write that on the shirt yourself. But it's probably just as well, because think how awful those people would have felt. Not only were you passing them while taking walk breaks, but you had walked 10 miles that morning. That's just incredible. I love that you, Bethany, that you made sure to mention, "Well, it wasn't a PR, but I think, well, no kidding, it wasn't a PR. You'd walked 10 miles already that morning." You'd be a true freak of nature to do a PR under those circumstances. That being said, I'm reminded of your upcoming marathon, where you are committed to getting a PR, not because of an experiment that we're doing with Run, Walk, Run, but because you signed yourself up for a race that meant you were going to PR or you were going to DNF. So I think you are, I know, I think everybody listening now and hearing what you have accomplished with this half marathon, I think we all know that you are going to get that PR. You are going to finish Twin Cities under that 6-hour cutoff using Run, Walk, Run. And I'm so excited for you and thrilled that we all have the opportunity to experience that vicariously through you.
Oh, thanks. I'm just so excited that it's like, I remember finishing and thinking, wait a minute, this means it's possible. Like,
oh yeah,
it's a real possibility.
Are you a little bit disappointed that it's possible? Were you hoping that you were wrong?
Yeah. She's like, holy crap, what have I done?
I got to run a marathon. No, I'm very excited, like super excited, because this is the third year I've wanted to do this particular race. It was the first a couple years ago, I did what's called the TC Looney Challenge, where you do a bunch of races and blah, blah, blah. It equals 21 miles. So at that point, I was like, I should have just trained for the marathon. And then next year, I came back to do the marathon, trained for it, got injured, couldn't run it. And then this year I was going to train for it, then got lazy, didn't train for it. I'm here like, but I still want to go. So I'm like, I'm really excited about it. Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm just curious. This means nothing, but what is your half marathon PR?
It is 2:22:21.
Well, you're not very far off. You were 20 minutes off, give or take.
20 minutes.
yeah, not bad. All right, so let's look ahead now. Given all the data points that you've got right now, Chris, what she did, what she's been doing recently, advice, and get as specific as you can, not just for the race, if you don't mind, but what should she do? She's 24 days out from this marathon. What do you think she ought to do between now and then, and then maybe some advice for race day?
Yeah. So between now and then, what I'd really love for you to do, Bethany, we talked last time about doing some of those acceleration glider drills. Were you able to find that video on our website demonstrating those?
Yes, and I had practiced it a little bit. That was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. So what I would love for you to do is just once a week, you don't have to do this every single run, but once a week, dedicate the first part of a run to doing those acceleration glider drills. It will allow you to make that transition from walk to run and run to walk a little smoother. So I'd like for you to really focus on that just once a week and get that kind of in your brain and in your legs, how you're going to accomplish those transitions. The other thing that I would like for you to do is, if you have the availability of hills in your area, do some hill drills once a week just to allow your legs to maintain some good strength. And, you know, looking at the elevation chart of Twin Cities, you've got from 20 to 23, you've got a good climb there.
Yeah,
so having the practice of running hills and being strong on those and having good form for that is going to be important. Beyond that, those are the only two things that I really want you to worry about for weekday runs. You've got a couple of weekends that still between now and then. There are no more long runs you need to worry about. Do you have any races on any of these weekends between now and Twin Cities, or is that it?
No, the only thing I have is a 25-mile bike ride this Sunday. But that's
this
the only
Sunday.
Thing I have on the calendar, yes.
Okay, great. Well, just, you know, be careful. Don't get hit by any cars or anything like that. We've all got a lot riding on you. And but we do, you know, that's good that you don't have to worry about any other races. What I'd love for you to do then for your weekend runs, keep that mileage for those weekend runs in the 5 to 6 mile range. You don't really need to push any farther than that. Definitely don't go up into double digits for any of your weekend runs between now and the race. And what I'd love for you to do on those weekend runs is run those as tempo runs or race rehearsal runs, where you do your first and last miles cautiously, nice long run pace, nice and slow. But then for your middle 3 mile, let's say it's a 5 mile run, for your middle 3 miles, I'd like you to run those as a race rehearsal. Pretend that it's race day and do the same pace and the same run, walk, run ratio that you anticipate using for the race itself. I think that you should be able, looking at the race itself, I think you should be able to maintain a 13-minute pace using 30 seconds run, 30 seconds walk for this whole marathon. I'm confident in saying that because looking at what your magic mile was and what you've already accomplished, if you had been all trained up, and I think we talked about this last time, if you'd been all trained up, you'd be looking at finishing the marathon under 5 hours. So 13-minute pace is really about what your training pace, your long-run training pace should be. So if you plan to hold 13-minute pace, that's including run and walk, but if you're planning on averaging per mile 13-minute pace in Twin Cities, hopefully it's going to feel to your body like it's just a long training run. And it's your longest training run by 3 miles, but you've got the 23-miler under your belt because we add the 10 miles that you walked to the half marathon that you did. I think 13-minute pace using a 30-second run, 30-second walk should be very comfortable for you to get through this event. You're going to have to face that hill between 20 and 23. And once you get to the top of that hill at 23, if you're feeling good and smiling and happy, and I think you will be, then you, if you want to, you could do the same thing you did in the half marathon, and you could pick it up. You could start missing every other walk break if you wanted and go to a minute run, 30-second walk, or you could even run on in the last 5K if you felt the need. But either way, I think you're going to see yourself coming in with a good, you know, 10 minutes under that cutoff at 6 hours. And that's going to be an exciting moment. That's a finish line picture you're going to want to keep.
Wow, that would be so fantastic. I'm just like, I still can't really believe it, but after last weekend, I believe it much more.
Yep. And you're talking about, I mean, you averaged faster than the pace that we're talking about at this half marathon, and you did it with 10 miles already on your feet. So the fact that you're not having to walk 10 miles at the beginning, you're able to do run walk the whole time, slowing down by a little bit from what you did in the half to 13-minute pace, I think is really going to be doable. The 13-minute pace still gives you a buffer that still gives you a buffer of about 18 minutes on that cutoff. So if you eat into it a little bit, that's fine. That's not going to be a concern. But I think you should stay well ahead of what you need. But I would caution you not to try to go faster. Don't try to go out at the same pace you did at the half marathon. Don't try to go super fast. Just if you find yourself at the first mile and you get there before 13, slow it down just a little bit. And every mile, adjust a little bit faster or a little bit slower to make sure that you're staying right on that line. So many people tell stories about their marathons, and you ask them, how did it go? Well, I was on pace for X until this happened. Well, no, you're never really on pace for anything except the time that you really finish in. It's a question of whether you run an even pace or whether you run a negative split, which is great, or whether you fall apart, which is what a lot of people do. So we don't want you to experience falling apart. We'd love for you to just run a nice even split of about 13s. So that would be the pace to practice for the next three weekends on those long runs, but long meaning only 5 or 6 miles.
Yeah, that sounds really great. And I'm glad you kind of mentioned that about pace, because I noticed at the race last week, and it was very easy to, especially with the walk break and especially at the beginning of the race, just feel awesome. Just feel like, you know, just like sprinting on those run intervals. So I bolded it and I underlined it and I circled it. And I'm going to do it. So 13-minute pace.
Great, great. That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, the time for you to go for an even faster time with run-walk is the next one. Remember, the goal for this was just, hey, let's make sure that we get this race finished officially under the cutoff. So we'll check that one off and know that that's a big success. And then we'll worry about getting you faster for the next one down the road.
Absolutely. It sounds great.
Cool. Very good. I did this race back in 96. Beth, you were probably, I don't know, maybe you weren't even born yet. Who knows? But the course is amazing. I know they changed. I know. They changed it a little bit, but be careful somewhere around 20, like Chris said. 20 to 23, I think, is relatively uphill. But once you get to 23 and you're on summit, it's gorgeous. I mean, the whole thing is gorgeous, but it's nice and flat and even downhill to the finish. So just save something for 20 to 23 and know that it's there, you know. I don't know if you know the course very well or have driven any of it.
Yeah, I've been on that pieces of it in different places for lots of different races. So I know it well. The placement of that last hill, I'm like, oh, couldn't we finish somewhere else?
Yeah.
I got to really earn it. I'm looking forward to trying, though.
Well, perfect. We're all excited for you. Do you have any final questions for Coach Twiggs before you get to this?
No, this is great. Again, I have so many, like, awesome notes. I wrote it all down. I got the plan. I feel ready. Yeah.
Good, good. All right. Well, thanks. Depending on when the next episode comes out, we'll all, if nothing else, we'll be thinking about you on race day, which by the way is the what's the date for Twin Cities? It's just 24 days away.
The 9th. Yep.
Yeah. We'll be thinking about you, and if by chance we can get another episode out before or right after, we'll chat again and see how things went. Thanks for
keep you posted.
Yeah, please do. And thanks for coming on with us today. Chris, as always, thank you for your wisdom.
Oh, I'm just delighted to be a part of this and happy to help out any way that I can, as you well know. And I'll be anxiously awaiting the next time we all get to talk, because I love hearing stories about people from people when they've run a race. But if you are tardy in getting the next episode out, I know for sure that I'm going to be watching the Extra Mile podcast Facebook group and the Slow Runners Facebook group so that I can see Bethany's update.
Tardy? You call me tardy?
No, did I? You'd have
or did
to
you say if I was busy? Is that what you meant?
I just don't remember. I can neither confirm nor deny any knowledge of what I might or might not have said with regard to your regularity of producing podcasts. All I know is it's the best podcast out there, no matter how often it comes out.
Thank you. All right. You guys have a nice day, and we'll be in touch. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
guys.
Yeah, thank you both. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Okay, so let's put a bow on this thing. I asked our little guinea pig to come back with us after she ran her marathon. Beth, do you mind I call you a guinea pig? I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So we're going to wrap this thing up. The last time you and Chris and I spoke, you had done a 10-mile walk plus right after that, shortly after that, jumped into a half marathon with pretty darn good and impressive results, I'll say, for someone who had only run like an 8-mile long run. And then in that between that time and now, you did something else at Twin Cities Marathon. So let's do it. Just spoiler alert, let's get to it. What did you do at that marathon?
Well, I finished it, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and so it had a six-hour limit, right?
It did. It had a six-hour limit, so that was my last marathon was a six-hour and 1 minute was my finish time on the last one, so I was really concerned about that. But I finished this one in 5 hours, 10 minutes, 39 seconds. So really, really happy with that.
No kidding. That is so impressive.
Thank you.
You were told by Coach Twiggs to do a 30-30, as I recall. Did you stick to that, or did you cheat? He's not with us.
No, I didn't cheat.
He's not with us, but he does listen to the show, I think. Okay,
that's right.
So you started at 30-30, kept 30-30 the entire way, right?
I did. I thought about cheating when I lost my gym boss somewhere around mile four, because it was that maybe this isn't meant to be. I'll just run it. I don't know my intervals, but I started watching my watch instead and just kind of went by that. And I did stick to the 30-30s, except for mile 25, which I ran continuously, and then did some longer running intervals towards the finish. But all the way up till 25, it was strictly 30-30s.
How did you feel?
Amazing. Like, so great the whole race. I felt super strong. I felt really relaxed. It was interesting, like the run walk. I've never done like this long of a race, obviously, with the run walk intervals, but like you'll be walking by little kids and they're like, "You can do it. Run, you can do it." I'm like, "Can't, kid. I got to do this for like 15 seconds. I'll run in a minute." You know? And then you also look like a super athlete when you're like sprinting past all these people and people are cheering because you're like, you know, blowing by everybody. So it's really fun. It's very different. Yeah.
Did you ever have a point during that race when you thought to yourself, or maybe in the back of your mind, I'm not sure I can do this? Or did you from the beginning of that race all the way through have confidence?
You know, I felt pretty good about it, and I wasn't going to let myself think that I wasn't going to, because I really wanted to at this point. Like, I had myself set up to want to do it. But I also know that things can happen in a race that you don't plan for. You can, you know, start to feel that niggling pain somewhere, or just get super tired, or have stomach issues. Like, I've, you know, had all this stuff happen in the past, so I knew that there could be something that came up. But I think it was mile 19 where I realized this is happening. Like, I can totally finish it. I looked at my watch, I knew how much time I had, and I knew even if I started, you know, if I had to walk a bunch more, I would still be okay. So, yeah, it was really, felt really good up to that point.
That is just so impressive. I'm sure that you got to the website and saw your results and all that fun stuff. I followed you that day, and then I have since looked up your results. And so I'm sure this is not news to you, but here's something I saw that I thought was pretty amazing. First of all, starting at mile 24 starting at 21 from 21 to 24, you passed 134 people. And 16 people passed you. And then from 24 into the finish, which sounds like a small distance, but from 24 to 26.2 can be a lifetime in a marathon. You passed 113 people and only 19 people passed you. That's incredible, I think.
It felt good. It was fun to do. I do remember those parts of the course. And by the end of the race, so many people were just so so just like tired and suffering. There's so much just walking the whole way at that point. I saw so many people just have to, you know, mostly, you know, stop and take giant breaks. And I still felt pretty good. it almost felt unfair. I wanted to like stop and tell them all about, you know, the Galloway method. I'm like, I don't have time to do that right now, but I would love to. But it was like,
welcome to my world.
Walking the whole time. You know, like, it was fun. Though. I do remember that.
How'd you feel after the race? First of all, short term, like when once that race finished at whatever time you got done, for the next couple hours, how'd you feel?
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, tired and hungry. Obviously, I think anyone who finished the marathon probably is, but just kind of stiff and sore the rest of that night and even the next day until about noon. But after that, I started feeling much better, like totally fine, no leg pain or cramping or anything. And I remember after my first marathon, I was really sore for probably like, it felt like almost 2 weeks. It felt like forever, but
yeah.
So much better than the first run, I think.
So what are your plans now? Are you one and done? You've done this thing?
I really enjoyed this race. I had such a good time. I'm not done running. I'm not done with the marathon distance. I think I would totally do it again at this point. Like, I mean, 5:10 was such a huge PR for me, but now I'm like, I was so close to sub 5, you know, pushing the envelope of what can I do next. So I haven't picked any other necessarily. I usually like to take the winter off of races, and then I usually start up again racing in the spring, but no other races. But whatever I do, it'll definitely be run, walk, run all the way. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think taking the winters off in Minnesota from running outdoors is wise. A little chilly up there in Minnesota over the winter, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate you coming on the show and doing this because that it had to be kind of gutsy to know that it wasn't just you trying this, but you'd thrown yourself out there, climbed out on a limb, and there were quite a few people that you were holding yourself accountable to. So I appreciate you going along with our little guinea pig treatment here.
Hey, it was really fun, and I got a lot of benefit out of it, too. Thank you, and thanks to Chris, even though he couldn't be with us, but thank you both.
No problem. And I'd invite you to think about coming on down to Atlanta in December. Get your husband and your boys and get on the plane and come down and I'll introduce you to Jeff and we'll talk about your next one, huh?
Hey,
give
maybe.
It some thought.
Check it out.
Yeah,
well,
please do.
Well.
All right. Well, I won't keep you any longer. I appreciate it. And if it's okay with you, in the show notes today, I'd like to share your YouTube video page. And I know you put in a much longer 12-13 minute update on your race that I'd like to share with the listeners as well, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. I'll put that in today's show notes. And Beth is also very active over at the Facebook page. She's very active on the Facebook page at the Slow Runners Club. So if you're not a member, get over there and check her out on both of those formats as well. That's all I got. I appreciate your time today, Beth. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye.
So good stuff, huh? So it looks like we can add run, walk, run motivational tools to our toolbox along with all the other tools that we've discussed in previous episodes. So I think it's important for everyone to realize that this whole Jeff Galloway run, walk, run training program is a full package and that your best results will come by using all of those tools. And before I forget, I want to make sure you all know we still have room for you at the Jeff Galloway 13.1 in December in Atlanta. I'd love to add you to the meetup. We'd love to add you to a special extra mile podcast dinner. And there's a lot of other cool stuff we want to make sure you're involved in. So please give that one some thought. Still got some time. So our long runs have been getting up there, huh? If you're doing a half marathon, they ought to be 10 plus already. And that's a significant amount of mileage. So in our next episode, we're going to discuss nutrition on that long run, eating for performance, huh? We'll also touch upon some running gadgets, huh? Get Jeff's take on some of the coolest running gadgets that that have come along in the last few years. And, of course, more questions from you. So get those to me if you've got any burning questions for Jeff. Thanks again for today's download, spending the last hour plus of your lives with us. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the extra milers who sent us questions for today's episode. I apologize profusely. We didn't get to all of them. I get quite a few and have to hone them down to just two or three for time's sake. So that's all I have. Look for the next episode pretty shortly. And get over to the Facebook page. Join the conversation we got going over there. I'll put all of that stuff in today's show notes. And until the next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegalloway.extramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegalloway.extramile@gmail.com. If you would like to send us your audio comments about the show or have questions about Run Walk Run, please send an audio file to thegalloway.extramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Boys,